To order with pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming today. It's been a long summer.
Sorry.
Well, you know, the heat makes the days seem longer.
That's okay.
Stacy, I know you want to modify the agenda.
Yep, I just have a parent request. They're moving to Danbury and they have a child attending the middle school and just they're moving on their house on the 13th, so they would just like to request that they are not be able to come to school at the beginning of the year. So we can add that to the agenda.
I will make that item HB, an existing item H will be HA. We're talking about Danbury and there's one of the conversations. Anybody else with applications? Have some minutes in our packet. Is it okay to add those to the consent agenda?
If we can take them separately, that would be great. I wasn't there for them, so.
Not having the consent agenda. Does anybody have any corrections or anything they want to make on it?
I just had one comment on page two. Inquiry of anonymous letters. That query was all copies of one letter.
No, they were two letters.
Oh, they were two.
I wouldn't call it query, but yeah.
Yeah.
Refer to two?
Yeah. It just seems.
It was two or three. It was not a flurry. It was.
It was two.
Two.
And a small number.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything? Okay. This time I'd like to open the meeting with public comment. Any correspondence?
I have none.
All right. No liaisons. Do we have a superintendent report?
Yeah, I'll just be quick. So it's been a busy summer. As you can see, we've done a ton of work around the district. Most noticeably, you got road to the parking lot. Yay!
Wonderful.
Nice. You don't have to worry about losing any tires or cars in the driveway. So, in addition, here at the high school, we did the track is finished. And is now open. We redid the both entryways. That project has been finished and is done. So we got rid of the mold, the rust and the mold over there. Here at the high school, I just showed some people the makerspace that we're creating here at the high school with the new carpet and the new color for the walls that we're gonna move forward with all of the classrooms as we move forward. Danbury Elementary School playground has been finished and is open. So again, I want to thank all the community in Danbury for coming out and supporting that project. Again, it was just like New Hampton, a community build, and so that's up and running. We have some new steps out front of Bristol Elementary School, which look beautiful. At the middle school, we needed to create a handicap accessible nurse's office, and so that project is underway. It is just about done, and so that will, what we took was the side room of the guidance office and made that into a nurse's office and put in, there was a sink in there anyway, so we had pipes running. So we put in a handicap accessible bathroom. So now the nurse is no longer in a closet. She actually has a room and a space, so that's nice as well. We've done painting district-wide. New Hampton Community School had their main office and the stage carpet replaced. And all three roofs that the board approved at the end of the year are in progress. So those are either in action getting fixed or in the process of getting fixed. The upgrade to our wireless access points is in process. That is done. We are actually at this point just waiting for confirmation of our E-rate. So as soon as we get confirmation that that's all set, we are all been working on that and we are ready to go. So I want to say I just like, I'm really proud of the board and proud of the district and all that we have done for our buildings. They are really looking so much better. I think as a community, people should be proud of their schools. And I think walking in, I feel like walking into the high school right now, we should be proud. Like, it looks awesome. You know, things looking well. So thank you to everybody who put all the time and effort into doing this, particularly Matt, who's been working real tail off all summer. So also want to know, we have lots of professional development going on this summer. So a group of our administrators, we went to a conference that was dedicated to culture and climate. We did that at the beginning of July, and that ties a lot into all of the social emotional learning work that we've been doing over the summer. We developed a committee to kind of look at that, and so all of our schools are ready to run with a curriculum and moving forward. That's pretty exciting. And so that conference really helped us to kind of get some good framework and a foundation for that work. Infinite Campus, it is well underway. I want to thank Paul Ciotti for all of his work. It has been a tremendous, I don't think any of us thought how much work this was going to be. When you think of moving data and probably a little over a million data points from one system to another system, and making sure it's right, it's challenging. The administrative team has met all day today, so we're trying to finalize all the competency side of things for grading and report carding. And so we have 8 days of training in October schedule, so we'll be going live November 1st. So it's pretty exciting, although I will say I will never do it again. It's been a ton of work. Paul's laughing back there because every day he has these massive spreadsheets of, like, he's got like 75 of them, and each one has like 15 columns of data we have to pull. It's been a project that we never really expected. This week we have professional development. Today we had a training on mental health first aid. We had 31 teachers attend. So that was nice. Tomorrow we have 2 sessions on Google Classroom. On Wednesday we have 2 sessions, beginner and intermediate advanced, on interactive whiteboards. And on Friday we have a full day workshop on maximizing your power potential. So for teachers, like, how to work with the power in your classroom, what can you ask them to do, what should you not, how do you develop a relationship with them. And so all of these have sold out. The computer trainings were a max at 12 for each session. So we have 48 people attending those. And then the mental health first aid, we capped at 30, and we have 30 people coming. I would also add that we had staff did individual professional development around curriculum technology and curriculum. They did math, science, social studies, special ed. We looked at college and career readiness. We teachers individually did 953 hours of professional development this summer to help us support us in moving forward for September.
Will those be offered at other times where it was only open for a few?
For those trainings?
Like Google, yeah.
Yeah, so yes, we can certainly do that. Mental Health First Aid is actually our 4th training we've done. Of that same training. So we have trained about 120 teachers and support staff in that. And I was open to support staff as well. The other ones, yes, if we have interest, we can certainly offer them. We have a teacher doing the Google Classroom and Paula's doing the interactive whiteboard. So nice. And just the last thing, update on enrollment. So as of right now I say that because kids still may come in and so kids still may move out. We are looking at an increase of 39 students for opening. We closed the year in June at 1,151, and it looks like we're opening at 1,190. So that's if nobody moves out. Like, that's just what we have right now as enrollment as of Monday. So it is. The middle school lost 5. The high school gained 17. New Hampton gained 12, Bristol lost 3, Danbury's the biggest one, gained 9 for that small little school, and Bridgewater gained 9. Those are numbers without preschool, just I'll add that too. Preschool numbers are not included in that, because those vary so significantly from the beginning of the year, so I didn't include those.
And how many just show up the first day?
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Ralph is moving again.
Yes, I mean, we'll gain and lose some, because some will not tell us they moved until we find that out. So it depends on the school. Bristol Elementary School tends to get a ton of kids come in first day. Middle school does. High school, not so much, because a lot of parents want their kids in the schedule, get their schedule and stuff. But Bristol Elementary School and middle school, we tend to get some fluctuation at those schools, like last year.
Gotcha.
But that's where we are right now. So, all I have at this moment.
Okay. We have no old business because we cleaned it all up. And we have new business. Presentation from Cafe Services about what they're doing.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
First of all, thanks for the opportunity to come in and visit. It's been a while since we've seen a lot of you. My name is Bill Van Sant. I'm the Senior Vice President of Operations for Cafe Services Fresh Picks. This gentleman next to me is the Director of Business Development for Fresh Picks, and Chris Farrell, and Chris Cantlin is the Senior District Manager, and he's also assigned to this location. And Chris Holland, your Food Service Director, reports directly to Chris Cantlin, so he's been involved with the program quite heavily. So what we thought we could start out with is kind of giving an overview of what we saw as 18-19's successes and challenges. Talk a little bit about 1920, and I know that some of you folks have some questions, so we thought we'd go through that real quick and then open it up to Q&A for you folks. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to the Chris's.
So last year, school year, one of the biggest things that we did, we implemented the Breakfast After the Bell program in the elementary schools, which was we started doing it in December. By January, we pretty much had all the schools doing it, and we saw a 70% increase in breakfast participation district-wide, which it's about 50 meals a day extra or more than what we were doing at the elementary schools. And it also, the majority of that winds up being the students that really need that food the most. It's the ones that are eligible for free meals. This year, we're hoping to get that off the ground right out of the gate. Chris Hollins has already sent out the emails that would go home to the parents. And hopefully those will get out right at the beginning of the school year, and they can start right off early probably by the second week, actually implementing that. This year also, because of the reduced students are going to be eligible for free breakfast, we should see an increase in breakfast participation there as well, because again, we'll be able to just deliver those meals right to the classroom for those students that every day on that. The other things that we kind of focused on last year, overall quality. Chris Hollins he's a very good culinarian, the food service director. He worked very closely with several of the leads to increase the overall quality. One of the things that became kind of apparent to us, though, is that we need a more skilled player at the high school to prove him up more, to get him on. So right now, that's what we're doing. We're actually interviewing people with more culinary experience to begin with, to bring in that extra person in the high school, so he'll be able to go to each of the other buildings and spend the same amount of time that he spent really at the high school. A lot of this year, he was involved in production. So that's what we need to do, is kind of free him up. But some of the other things that we did, and again, this was things that we were doing at the high school, where we went into some scratch baking, we did some cookies from scratch, we did fruit yogurt smoothies that we had available out there. We started doing salads made to order right near the end of the year off the deli. That's something we're going to continue this year, so that option, aside from just the entree salads that we have prepared in the Market Fresh Cooler, customers can come up to the deli and actually choose what they want and have it put together right there. So that's a lot of what we have focused on for this year.
Yeah, great. So, as Chris said, Chris Hollins was able to affect a lot of change in the culinary program here at the high school, getting some from-scratch baking going, introducing some new stuff. Chris, you started doing smoothies this year too, right?
Yes. Yep.
Introducing smoothies, introducing the made-to-order salad salad on the deli, just like we do at your middle school. But, you know, he really was able to affect that change at the high school. We did have some staffing challenges as well. Not not unusual in New Hampshire with 2% unemployment. We really see it everywhere. But it's something that, you know, Chris have done a good job of building that staff up, trying to retain the good employees. And as Chris said, they're really working right now on making sure we can secure a new employee for the high school to kind of keep up some of that culinary aspect that Chris Collins has introduced, so he can get out and actively work with the other buildings to start to implement smoothies and some of this other stuff that we've done at the high school in the rest of the district as well. One of the other things that before I get to this other one, I do just want to quickly go by. Chris mentioned reduced price breakfast. It was actually SB 82 was the New Hampshire bill. I'm not sure if you're aware or not. But the governor just signed it a couple of weeks ago, where the state of New Hampshire is going to be picking up that 30-cent portion of the cost of breakfast for students who qualify for reduced price breakfast. Maine and Vermont have been doing it for years with great success. We're very happy to see it be implemented in New Hampshire as well. And, you know, we don't really operate much in Maine, but Vermont, where they've had it for several years, it really has increased that breakfast participation and helped address the food insecurity. The other thing that changes for this year is USDA whole grain flexibilities. And that's really another great opportunity we see for your program and all of our programs in this upcoming year, is just being able to kind of balance out what the students want with a healthier program by giving them those choices of, you know, things that they actually like. One of the biggest ones we always talk about is pasta. When we were forced to go to whole grain pasta, we saw participation on pasta days drop 20%. Now we'll be able to offer actual regular pasta on those pasta days and still be able to get the kids used to whole grain pasta by doing whole grain pasta salads and other dishes where it actually works from a culinary perspective. So, you know, we're very excited about these changes. We're working with, I actually just had a conference call with Cornell University last week. We're beginning to work with their Smarter Lunchrooms initiative, which is focused on using marketing to help kids understand better choices and make better choices. We're going to be doing a lot with that this year to help the kids understand, okay, these items that I love are back. There's also these other items. This is why I should choose both and kind of balance it. So that's another big thing coming up this year as well. And that's pretty much I have. You can open it up for questions unless anybody wants to add it.
I think so, yeah.
What questions can we answer for you folks?
Well, I'm going to start out. I think every one of us on the board have heard somebody complain over the school year about the outlying schools and the quality an appeal of the offerings at the outlying schools. Some of them have been quite vocal. I realize that you've had some issues to deal with, but I'd like to hear what you're going to do to try to make that better this year.
Right. So it really comes back to what we were talking about making sure that Chris Hollins can be freed up to get out and work with some of these other schools. I believe the staffing challenges we had last year probably was a part of that.
That was a part of it. I would say the other piece of that, too, is if we don't get that feedback, we also are not agreeing that needs to happen. It's a plan that we have for this year anyways that we're going to be spending more time on the training side. As far as complaints that I've received, I haven't really heard any, so that's good. As far as quality,
I think one of the big issues, I mean, obviously, and this, you know, this is by no means a cop-out. We had a horrific year of staffing. We had more people in here that didn't work here that were driving an hour and a half to get here to be able to serve food, literally. The unemployment rate is 2%. You're dealing with just about unemployable people. One of the plans we did for 1920 is we made a conscious effort to raise wages to attract more people. We really need that. And Chris Collins was handicapped last year because he was stuck here physically working in this building, and his position is not designed to do that. His position is to be here, make sure the staff is all set, go out to Danbury, go to New Hampton, go throughout the district, go over to Bristol, hit the middle school, identify shortcomings, and then be able to come up with a training plan with the assistance of Chris Cantley. We didn't honestly even get close to it last year. But I mean, we couldn't.
Just from the comments too, I would say that they might have to do a better job of outreach and the administration in those buildings to hear those comments, because as I said, we don't necessarily hear a lot of that. We like to hear it. I'm not going to scare them.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation because they don't call you to complain.
No, they call you guys.
And they call us.
Right.
They don't call the superintendent. They don't call the principal.
Yeah.
They call us or email us.
I think we got to set up a good line of communication here because, like Chris said, I mean, we're in the food service business, and you know, it's rare the day that 100% of the people that you serve that day are ecstatic about what you did. So, you know, but I mean, like Chris said, if we hear these things, we respond quickly. We base our whole philosophy on responses because our business is based on curveballs. You know, you get fresh produce, you get these things, you get a rotten case of lettuce, you're serving salad, what are you going to do? You know, Betty doesn't show up. Okay, well, who's going to go do that? You know, every day is like that. So if we can get some more communication, we'll have to work with the administration, with Stacy and Mike, and maybe set up some way that we can get better communication from the buildings, even if being a food service committee that was district-wide, perhaps. I know everybody's busy, but in some cases we have these. Very helpful.
And I can add to just for your sake. So I met with the administrators just to get feedback, knowing this was here. And I will say they all did say that overall the quality of food is far better than what we had been producing.
And we can do so much better. I mean, we really can. We had a hard year.
Schools, and I think kind of tying into that is Danbury and New Hampton said often they don't get the right amount of food, which either then requires them to serve kids foods that aren't what they ordered,
or have
to come back here to the high school to get it. So,
yep.
And I think that's a logistics thing of just making sure what should be on the truck is on the truck.
It's a logistics thing. It's also, again, that training piece that we talked about. You know, we struggled with staffing. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I know from 2 years ago when we came in, at that point, I did a lot of work with the administrators because my title is business development, but I'm also client relations and making sure, you know, we're getting that feedback and, you know, trying to implement it, all of that. I know from a couple of years ago, we've done better than, you know, it was a couple of years ago. We've come in, we've made some improvements. We want to make more. As Chris and Bill are kind of alluding to, it was hard to really make any progress last year because of staffing challenges. But we feel coming into this year, we have the budget to afford people that are quality employees that will stick around and will be able to overcome that and really affect some of this change that Chris Hollins was able to make here and will be able to make in the other buildings once we can get him freed up to do that. In terms of the feedback, I'll say right here in a public forum, absolutely we're looking for that. And like Chris said, we have thick skins. We're in food service. You know, we hear stuff all the time. People can feel free, you know, not just administrators, but we need to do a better job creating that dialogue, but, you know, the menu section of the NutriSlice website, our corporate website, has mechanisms that people can provide comments. Those all come to me. I follow up with Chris, building administrators, whoever need to make sure those are getting addressed. We do surveys. We're another great source of feedback. So we would love to get that feedback directly because we can act on it more quickly than you guys can. We'll only see us a couple of times a year.
And I'm happy to invite you to, we meet as an administrative team once a month. So one
that
of
that would be helpful to go to the 18 meetings, yeah.
Yeah. Just
and internally, we just teamed with a new recruiting company called Clear Company. And I'm not sure if it's a changeover to this company or things are getting better in the labor market, but the result has been we're getting a lot more applicants than we saw. I mean, we had crickets last year. And we're actually getting some play. And we've hired some really talented people through the process. So we're kind of excited about that process and hoping for the best here. And Chris Hollinger, FSD here, is just a top-notch guy. I feel very fortunate to have him as part of our team. You know, he was frustrated last year. He's a really good guy. He's got both feet on the ground. Giving him the proper resources is a game changer. It really is.
Well, I think, too, your person, Chris Hollins, being the contact person for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we got to get that word out so people are comfortable contacting him directly. You know, and if we can do that and establish it, it comes out to something. So that way, even if they're reaching out to board members, you can say, oh, hey, call Chris. Here's his number. You know, because they can affect change that way. Once we know, we fix.
It's not just the contact person, but he's the he's the face of her.
Yes, absolutely.
So if he can deal with people in a way, employees as
right.
well.
Right. And, you know, there's people need support, too, and allowing him to get out of this building is key to this program. That's why we set the management structure that we'll be doing in school districts. So you have that guy who can get out, identify problems, train people, you know, and a lot of these people, because it was moving. I know in Danbury, we had 4 or 5 different people over the course of the year.
Actually, Chris spent a lot of time. He actually spent a lot of time as the person in Danbury.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
Are there 3 Chris's?
Yeah. This is a Chris. This is a Chris. Chris Hollins is your food director.
I see
mail.
Okay. 3 tiers of Chris's.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Just to keep it all straight, Chris Hollins is your food service director. I'm Big Chris. He's Little Chris.
You do hire people with other names.
We got a couple
sometimes,
other names.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we have a lot of the same. We have a lot of mics too.
So, question.
That's good.
Question. I have a question. I'm the outlier Danbury rep, but like my kids go to Danbury, and sometimes it's tough because they're trying to. I mean, we try to be efficient and pick their menus for the whole week to be efficient for the week. But then they see something else, they're like, oh, but I want that, because with kids, I mean, they're elementary school kids. Yeah. Their mind span is like my kids, and they take after their mother. It's very short. So if they see the food, they're going to be more likely maybe to be like, hey, this is a good choice because this is a protein because we do it at home. But, like, there's no other real choices either. Like, my kids are like, oh, well, I'll just get the better cheddar because I like the apple juice in it. Or there's one
right.
thing that they
one
like
thing.
In it. And it's like, yeah, but you don't eat anything else. They're like, no, I just throw it out. Like,
oh,
so
wow.
there's no, like.
That's terrible.
So it's just like,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, from what they're telling me, well. Yeah, I don't like the pizza, but I like that from the pizza, but I like this from the chicken patty.
Right.
So it's like, well, you can't really pick that because it comes. So
the problem is, I mean,
that's
you know,
a problem with
a
elementary
very,
school
it's
kids.
It's a very unique
yeah.
situation, the smaller
yeah.
schools especially.
Right.
To manage, you know, when we're managing this money, we're not managing our money, we're managing your money.
Right.
And we're trying to be as efficient as possible
mm-hmm.
with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they try and take into consideration. So if there's 2 or 3 choices of sun butter and then a choice and then another
yeah.
choice. You know, they try and consider that kids are going to walk up and say, oh, I'll take that
right.
instead. So there's usually try to be enough for that. Danbury was just a constant turnover last year, so I know we had some exceptional struggles out there.
Sure.
And, you know, like I said, this communication piece is going to be critical going forward because, you know, once these things are identified, most problems are fixable. I would say, dare to say, almost all, and quickly. So, I mean, that information is critical to us. So, going forward, I'm not sure what we can do to change that. Maybe there could be a little more leeway on menu design when we're talking about that.
Yeah, and you kind of nailed it when you were talking about it's elementary level, so it's kind of tough because, you know, if you give elementary kids too many choices in the line, yeah, we... They'd
oh,
still
I,
be
oh,
serving.
Trust me,
yeah.
I get you. I get you.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it can be done under certain circumstances.
Right.
Really, what we need to get in place is that solid staff that sticks around,
mm-hmm.
that gets to know the kids and gets everybody
right.
comfortable with the program. Danbury is still a small program, so it's
mm-hmm.
extremely challenging to program that size. But you're right. I mean, there could
be
some solutions.
Shared
done.
Sides, too, right? Yeah. Right? So, you know, if you got the pizza or the chicken burger, the sides for both of those meals are the same.
Right.
So that way, maybe that would help in that situation.
And it's just tricky because, I mean, I know we get the menus for the week for the kids, and it's just tricky to be like, because sometimes they'll say, well, I picked this because you like this, and they're like, oh, yeah, but that doesn't come with that. I'm like, okay, I give up. Because it's hard to tell from what the administration gets sent home,
yep.
So maybe there's some work with the administration team of making it a little bit more clear for parents, because I don't know.
Are you using the online menus? Or?
No, we get one. We get a printed version because we don't use the online one because they don't get all those options is what I was told.
No, it's the same menu that's online.
Okay, because it's
yeah.
a photocopied version, half page that I get sent home to pick out.
Okay.
The
if you use the NutriSlice website, or you can even download the NutriSlice app to your phone,
mm-hmm.
You can see the entire menu for the week. You can click on those items. A lot of them have pictures,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of, they all have nutritional information, and you can get that all right online. And it has all the
so
different options.
So I can pick their choices
listed.
From there, and then it'll go to the school.
No,
okay.
No, that you can get information on the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
We are working with them. They are introducing an online ordering component. We're still a good school year away from being able to work with that, especially at the elementary level, because it is. pretty brand new technology. Mm-hmm. There's only two companies that do school menus right now that are offering it, and they were beta testing it last year.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
So how many choices do the elementary kids get?
They get at least five.
And the majority of them hot, or is there like a salad?
There's usually at least two hot options. So it was Wednesday, like some familiar meatballs is the signature item, and then the deli item that day, I believe, is bacon, egg, and cheese, Danish muffin. So that is an option. The sides should be the same with olive. So.
And then you'll have the lunch box offerings every day, the bento box, like she was talking about, the better cheddar that's designed to have the marketing of a Lunchable, but actually has real food in it. And a salad, typically sun butter and jelly is offered every day.
So it's usually at least five.
And I think they get the yogurt boats at the elementary school. The yogurt boats?
I think the yogurt parfaits are once a week. I don't think they're doing it.
Yeah, they'll show up Thursday.
And they have to choose a side, go with that hot meal.
The sides are available. So it should be the same
size for any offering right now?
Okay. The same sides are available.
Do they have to take it? Isn't that like one of the...
Yeah, so one of the things the USDA didn't change is that for us to count it as a reimbursable meal, every student has to take at least a half cup serving of fruit or vegetable with that.
And they have no idea how much that ends up.
Yes.
Oh, it's the most wasteful thing in the world. It's offer versus serve here. Is that right, Chris?
Yep. Yes.
So they can take three out of five components, so it helps a little bit. But, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Giving them the choice is one thing. I mean, it's their choice. They're going to throw it right away.
And that's why we were happy to see the whole grain flexibility come back, because that at least gives them a little more choice, gives us a little more leeway to work with. They kept the half cup fruit and vegetable in place. I don't foresee that going away anytime soon. When they implemented that, I was talking to somebody from the USDA, and he said, you know why we did it? If you look at, consumption of fats, consumption of carbohydrates, consumption of sodium, consumption of everything, it's all like this over the past couple decades. Consumption of fruits and vegetables is like this. And that's why they forced it.
Fortunately, they started to relax these things. Because quite honestly, there was almost a 30% dip in revenues in national school lunch programs across the United States.
That happened.
A lot of people actually dropped out. People that had low, free, and reduced meal assistance programs actually dropped out, so they weren't handcuffed. They could run the program that had nutritional integrity, in their opinion, and not be handcuffed by the feds. And they were brand profitable programs. I mean, I can't tell you how many programs we run that used to be profitable, and because of those changes, they turned into subsidies. Yeah. It was that dramatic.
There's a movie I just watched on Netflix. It's called Fed Up. I highly recommend it. It's called Fed Up, and it's all about this. And
I've heard of that. I haven't seen that yet. Yeah.
It's very informative.
Yeah. There's so much behind it. It's so frustrating, honestly, because a lot of times, because we're on the front lines, it's like, oh, well, Fresh Picks are making me do this, they're making me do that. You know, it's not, believe me, if I get the opportunity to change that, I'd do it. I'd rather see a kid eat something, maybe a little bit more of something, than throw it in the garbage.
Right.
There's no nutrition in the garbage, right? So if they eat it, it's kind of the old argument between white and chocolate milk. I'd rather see a kid drink a pint of chocolate milk than throw a pint of white away.
And drink a Mountain Dew.
And drink a Mountain Dew. Come on now.
But the choices they're going to have. Right now we actually have a pretty healthy deli program going on. Both for middle school and high school, we probably do 40 or 50 sandwiches a day at both. But that's right now that we can have an elite wrap, elite bulky, or elite sub-roll. Now we can say we'll have flavored wraps, tomato and basil, and
they'll be white and rich breads offered in the proper places.
They still have those choices, but now they have more choices.
To your point, though. The feds didn't take choice into their thought process. They just shoved a square peg in a round hole and moved on. And, we've always felt as a company that if you provide choice and teach healthy lifestyle, your success rate is so much higher. Because you can force them to eat, and like you said, you're going to see garbage cans full of stuff. And it's not because the food's terrible, it's because they don't want that. They don't want macaroni cheese with whole grain pasta, and neither do I, honestly.
pizza.
Yeah. Pizza's going to change. We're going to be able to change some pizza this year. We're able to change some burger rolls and things like that. So, you know, and they'll still be offering the whole grain portions, but, you know, we'll have the option to do these things now. So we're really excited about this, and it's the best thing that's come out of the feds maybe ever, in my opinion.
So I want to leave this on positive. Things are much better now than they were before you guys came along.
Right.
We can see incremental improvement year to year. Just keep working with us.
We'd like to come back in a couple months after school's settled in and you know, talk to you again about this and see if that line of communication is going to be crucial for us this year.
Yep.
We're getting more comfortable with staffing. We're not there yet, but we're pretty excited about some of the opportunities we have.
Last year, we're so much better.
And then we'd like to come back in a couple months and tell you exactly what happened and where we succeeded and where we might have misstepped.
We've been dealing with staff issues for a while, since the beginning, I would think.
So at the very beginning, we had some key staff members that we thought were on board and thought were willing to try the change and did not turn out that way. So yeah, right from the beginning, it was kind of a struggle. And then last year, you have that perfect storm of unemployment dropping to 2%, and we had staffing challenges everywhere, just as you did with paras and everything else. And that, our second year, was what we dealt with our second year. So coming into this year, between going to Clear Company, adjusting the budget and the way we're approaching hiring people and, you know, compensating people, we're starting to see some very positive changes.
Yeah, and just so the board knows, working with Mike has been great, because we discussed a lot of this as we develop the budgets, because it does have impact, and we're trying to do the best we can to, you know, protect your interests, because that's part of our responsibility as well.
Yeah, because Sue does not like raising those lunch prices.
That was another gift from the feds.
I was going to say, that's another one that they didn't change. They still make you
that. The first one I ever voted for.
Yeah, but that's, you know, just like everything else with the National School Lunch Program, the feds have their 2 cents in on it, and Mike every year has to fill out that form with, this was how many meals we sold, this was our meal price, and if it hits the Fed's number, you're good. If not, then it requires that you either raise the price or take money out of the general fund because you don't want to raise the price.
Well, because I've always said that
you're going to
take money out of the
FFA. Right. Yeah. Great. So thank you very much, and thank you very much for that vote of confidence. Glad you're seeing incremental change, and we will keep working hard towards that incremental change until everybody really sees the program new. They want to see. Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm going to give everybody my card.
We'll put you on the agenda a couple months from now.
Yeah, a couple months. Maybe towards the end of, maybe the beginning of December probably would be a good time. Somewhere around there, right after Thanksgiving, right before everything gets crazy again. But thank you all very much.
Thank
appreciate
you for
it.
Coming.
Okay. In our packets, we have some resignations and nominations.
Yes, these are people who hired since your last
It's in a yellow piece of paper. Jimmy, your first yellow?
First yellow.
Did you screw your packet up? Did I screw my packet up? I was going to email and say,
is there not one in your packet?
No, she doesn't have one.
I do not have one. Okay, thank you.
So these are the new teachers we hired, and since the last board meeting, we had one resignation, Julie Burr, so I accepted that.
Oh, what?
It's like the entire middle school math.
She's brand new. Come on.
She went to Bulbur and made more money.
Oh, Oh my gosh.
So at this point, we are almost 100% staff. We have one nurse in Danbury we still have not hired. We have an interview on Thursday, so we're hoping to capture somebody on Thursday. And we have a couple of para-educator openings. I've been sending them out on those several guys with feedback on that and some applicants, so that was a positive thing. So I know we have, this week, a ton of people are interviewing, trying to get, you know, last-minute hires for paras. But other than the school nurse, we are 100% teacher-wise done. So.
Can we ask any questions?
Sure.
I'm just looking at the kindergarten position. Mm-hmm. That's a significant difference between everybody else.
Yep. So we got just a few kindergarten applications. So this came as a recommendation from a board member, Mr. Robert, who she was a teacher in his district. Recommended her highly. I interviewed her. She's very strong. And knowing, again, so one of the things we look at is balancing in a school. And so we have a bunch of brand new teachers.
Yeah.
So we'll have Amanda Trent. So it's trying to figure, you know, okay, so we can go with a higher end kindergarten teacher because then we have like three other brand new teachers. So we balance that. So I felt comfortable doing that.
How many of the new math teachers, of which there's a crew at middle school, did the culture training? Staff development, did you say?
I don't know about the math. I didn't look specifically, but we had, I would say out of the teachers who did today, three quarters of them were our new teachers. Our new teachers have taken full advantage of that post training, which is awesome. I will tell you also, the middle school math, Kim has met with them. They've had like two full days of training with her and a consultant. We wanted to make sure they were up to speed going in. So they have all had that. All of them have made appointments with Kim and have come in all summer long to be ready. So they are ready. Art science teachers as well have had days of training with the new science curriculum.
So,
and so they're ready to go in starting with unit one as well.
Can we talk about that? Did we choose a new science program? I don't remember.
We did. We went with No Adam.
Did you pilot two of them?
Yeah. We piloted No Adam.
This conversation was I not here?
We piloted No Adam, and we piloted Amplify. Was it? I think it was Amplify. So we started off. So we've had lots of conversations. So if you remember, we started off with the elementary school, and then said so. This was all through the budget process too. We started off with the elementary, but. So the elementary school started the pilots, and then we said, oh, we should move this K to 8. So middle school kind of came in a little later, just because we were like, well, if we're changing elementary, we should move it to the middle school, and the middle school teachers were looking for some support. So the middle school jumped in, and they piloted both of them as well, and then we kind of got the whole group together.
So we start this 3 years ago, or 2 years ago?
We're just starting it this year.
Yeah, no, I mean,
It was 2 years ago the elementary school did. Like we looked at them, we bought in a bunch of trainers and materials. And then we held off elementary science until next year because we had to beef up the budget. That was the most expensive. But we did the middle school knowing we wanted to beef up the middle school program, or then we wanted to more concerned about the elementary school.
I don't know how long they have time to do it at the elementary school. Honestly.
Every other day, 45 minutes.
In our packet, we have four policies for second reading.
And so those, again, were a carryover from the last meeting. That came from policy. You saw them as a first read at your June board meeting.
You want to talk about any of them?
subject, extend this be subject to by individual movement.
Where it says subject to, by should be gone.
Subject to.
To extend this be subject to mutual agreement. The by.
I think it cannot. And just if you didn't get, so the red was our board proposals and the blue was Bridgewater Keyboard's proposals.
Oh, and then on the back, it just popped out. Unless we need fire insurance, it says the amount of dire insurance.
I'm assuming that's fire insurance.
Fire insurance is the third line down. Which is
actually saw that. So just for people at home, I'll run down through. The agreement, we have shortened the term. It will be 5 years instead of 10. There were some language changes, date changes, to reflect the new term. Under the termination section, we are going to add language that requires a full year notice to terminate the agreement, and that any change in the amount or formula for state aid will not be grounds for termination of the agreement. So nothing the state legislature does can injure our agreement. And we also added a section that says nothing in the section prohibits an exception to this language upon mutual agreement of the Newfound Area School Board in the Bridgewater Keyboard Village District. So we can make exceptions to the agreement by mutual agreement. That's pretty much all the changes. Anybody have any questions?
Been doing a pilot walkthrough model for supervision and evaluation of our teachers. So right now, our teachers who are tenured get just one observation. Our non-tenured teachers get two observations, normal observations. So over the last couple of years, we have the teachers and the administration talked about kind of going through a walkthrough model where instead of coming in and doing a formal, like, full period observation, we do multiple walkthroughs. And it has gone well. So the first year we did, every administrator did one teacher for the first year, and we did 9 walkthroughs, which afterwards we realized was way too many walkthroughs. We did 9 was like overwhelming. We did them, but, and we did a lot of data comparison. So we only chose teachers who had a score of 3.0 or more, because one of the things we wanted to do was to also quantify that a walkthrough was equivalent to, like, multiple walkthroughs were equivalent to a regular observation, and that scores were consistent. So we were able to look at teachers who had been here over time at what their scores had been, and then look at what they got through the walkthrough to make sure that it wasn't impacting their overall performance, and it did not. So the second year we did, every administrator did a tenured teacher and a non-tenured. So this was all voluntary, teachers could come in and ask, but we bumped it down to 5 walkthroughs. So we've been looking at all of this, and so what the teachers asked if we could open this up to everybody. The teachers who were on this committee, so there were, at the end of the day, 16, 17 teachers who did 1 or 2 years of the model. They loved it, so it really is about going in for about 15 minutes, it's unannounced. And then doing, having a conversation and then doing the write-up. Teachers felt like it was far more valuable because it wasn't kind of like the dog and pony show. It wasn't like, well, I gotta fit everything in. It was them naturally teaching, and it helped. I think the dialogue between teachers and administrators really opened up to better teaching, because it wasn't I gotta write this down. It's like, hey, did you think about this or did you think about that? You know what, next time I come in, I'm gonna come in the middle of your class and let's see how that worked or whatever. So
is that a protocol at all if you're mandating three walkthroughs. Say a tenured teacher selects that option to have one at the beginning of the class, one in the middle, and one at the end, or is it?
Yeah, so that is how we wrote the agreement. So our agreement with them has been one would be at the beginning, middle, and end. So we were seeing different types. The nice thing about this also allows us to see different courses. So a teacher may teach different classes. So a social studies teacher may teach debate, they may teach world history, they may, and so we were only seeing one of those classes. And so this also allows us to kind of go into multiple different classes. So where we landed at the end of this year, they wanted to open it up to everybody. And again, it's a voluntary thing. So we met with the administrators, and I think we came down to each administrator not taking on more than 5 teachers. I think that was the number. I didn't bring my, I think it was 5. Because so think about the fact that we went from one observation to multiple. So if you're doing 5 teachers, now that's 15 walkthroughs. So we agreed to do 3 walkthroughs for tenured teachers and 4 walkthroughs for non-tenured teachers. It was just a ton of time for the administrators spread over. And we talked about trying to balance out how to get that all done within our time period. So, but as I approached the union with this and Deidre, our contract specifically states like non-tenured teachers have 2 walkthroughs and tenured teachers have 1. So this memorandum of understanding which Deidre and I created together just really addresses those components that are no longer aligning with the contract, that for this pilot, just for 1 year, we're going to allow these waivers to happen so that we can kind of continue with this walkthrough model. And then I think at the end of next year, we'll talk about it and see where we want to go. If this is a model that the teachers love and administrators like and the union supports, looking to maybe negotiate that into our some language around a walkthrough into our contract. So.
Are teachers with renewals up this year more of a focus, or
no? It was, no. So we opened it up to, so this year it will be, administrators will announce like on at their staff meeting, first staff meeting, that this is open to anybody. And what we decided was we'll kind of, if we have more teachers than we can fit into what we agreed to, then we'll whittle it down to stay. We agreed that anybody who's on this model will stay on this model unless they choose, which they can do, to not continue. Like if somebody didn't like the model, they could choose to go back to the traditional model, which would be fine. We haven't had anybody ask for that, so.
But the way it should be.
It's great. It's like, I will be honest with you, teachers were very passionate about, they wanted to get, the teachers wanted to start looking at peer observations, where peers could observe peers for the requirements. So we're gonna explore that a little bit. We said this year, let's have some conversations around what that might look like. So there's lots of things that go into that in my mind that we need to think about. I'm good with it being informal. I'm a little concerned about having a teacher observe a teacher without some formal supervision evaluation training.
Are they pre-scheduled to walk through?
No, they're just walk-in. Yeah, so they're not scheduled.
That's where you're getting the real
classroom teacher. And that's what teachers said. They're like, I don't want to spend 3 days writing up a dog and pony show of something that I don't really do in the class. Like, it's not something I do every day. I try to come up with a lesson that has technology and has this and has that. And
right.
It's like, well, now you can naturally see what you're doing in the classroom.
And how do they dialogue around the combination of walkthroughs, so they're free? Whereas you have the pre and post observation. Otherwise, standard.
So you're probably really familiar. So we do. We're also moving to the focused evaluation system for Marzano next year, which lowers the elements to 23.
Right.
But so what we were doing was the first observation was the walkthrough. So it was an observation, and then it was the planning and preparation side, and then the second was just the write up. So again, it was, they would do pre and post. They're shorter though. So you know, I mean, you don't do pre. So with the new model, the emphasis is more on the post than the pre. So it's all about, so what did I see? Like, why did that happen? Why did you change that? And, you know, or this was great. So it's more about the post observation and adjusting things based on the feedback you get from the teacher. Then the second and third are just the walkthroughs. Then the fourth would be the walkthrough with the other two domains, the professional responsibilities and the, they're what is the other one? Professional, it's domain three. I can't think of what it's called.
Professional development.
Yeah, it's tied to all of that stuff. And they've just, so they've now reworked it. The whole model is different. But so we've outlined what gets done when, and so we share that. Principals will share that with the teacher.
How much time is usually spent? Like, we're talking about lesson time? Are we talking?
So it's like 15-minute walkthrough. And so afterwards, so it's like a 10 or 15-minute dialogue, unless it goes longer, right? So we don't really try to put a limit on their post-conversation because maybe it was a great conversation, you had some good feedback or whatever. But the walkthrough is like 10 to, it's meant to be 10 to 15 minutes snapshot.
You can see a lot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Take notes.
Okay, I'm going to jump back.
Sorry for being late.
I got to tell you, I really enjoy hearing your reports.
You do?
Yes, you do such a great job, and they're really
informative.
So I'm glad you're here.
I've been up since 3 a.m.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
So it's been a long day for John. But I want Mr. Shovel off those ears because I can't hear him talk good about him. But he has done a really good job. I've only heard good things. Our baseball coach has been very happy about soccer players on his field. Never heard of him being happy, so. Mr. Shovel, I'm supposed to be doing something right.
Do you want it down?
But seriously, the girls' soccer and boys' soccer, we have an arrangement, and that's. It's all new. He's being thrown into a whole new sports team his first year, and he's handling it like a champ. We're figuring it out on the fly, and both teams seem to be happy, so congrats. So power to him, I guess.
Day one.
And we also, the students are going to be much happier that the medians are taken out in the parking lot, because I have seen multiple students hit those. So hopefully we'll have less student car damage without the medians, the flower beds. But in all reality, going back to school, a lot of students have been working, and a lot of kids are excited for our new competency base. Some are nervous, some are upset, but I think adjustment will come in time, and I believe that it will be better for our school in total, especially since the teachers are so enthusiastic about it. When you have your staff so enthusiastic about teaching something, the students are going to care more. And our staff has seemed to really take it upon themselves to push this new competency base, and I think it's great. But and we should congratulate football. They've done a crazy amount of fundraising and went above and beyond what any sports team I've ever seen, and they deserve a pat on the back for that. But,
Thank you.
Alex is here for the next item on the agenda.
Oh, he's actually
wants
to speak.
All right. Well, no, he's here. He's here as my backup in case I can answer any questions.
Oh. Well, then I will let you jump right in and tell us about.
Okay, so your next agenda. So we have a request from actually a parent, Abby Mooney, whose daughter does gymnastics at Top Gun Gymnastics, and she is requesting that we allow an independent gymnast to. Perform under and participate in competitions under the Newfound Regional High School name. So we can, I want to thank Alex for all his research. So clearly April 1st, this was on Pete Cuffren's duty. He left it for Alex.
So can we introduce, because I have not formally been introduced. So
Alex Soboloff, who is our new athletic director. Alex is great. He's done an awesome job. He spent a ton of time with Pete last year. Catching up, doing his internship, which also then turned into, I should learn all this because now I have the job.
Yeah.
He was clearly our top candidate through interviews. He comes from an athletic family. I knew his father, who was my athletic director when I was in Boston. So he has some good resources. And he started off on just a great, great note, has done tremendous.
One.
He says day one because today was the first day of practice, but he's been here all summer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everyone. Obviously, just stepping in. I've been here since July 1, but it feels like under Peter Cofferin, it feels like I had about 5 years of tutelage and a smash in about 7 months. So he was a great mentor. Still around, calling him. Probably popped in once a week, so calling, if not every day, every other day. So it's been very helpful. And the transition's been good so far. So I'm confident as we move forward. So, I don't know what anything I can add about gymnastics, our individual, that you'd want to touch on. I mean, I can go into...
Yeah. So we, and you feel free to jump in, we can add up to 3 students for a team as an individual sport. She would practice with at the Top Gun Gymnastics. Perry would be the coach who would go to all the performances with her. The parent has agreed to pay every cost involved. This is really a win-win for all. Like, it's a win-win for the student. It doesn't cost us anything. It allows her to participate, not really worried about, my questions was, well, are we going to get a 4th kid that forces us to have a team and now we have to buy equipment or man coach? And we don't have any other, I believe she has a sister maybe, or there's somebody else who's maybe in a younger grade who might be coming up interested. We just don't have any other newfound students, so it's not like you come into high school and then grade and decide you're going to do gymnastics and start being in a team. So it is a skilled sport in that sense. Started from a much younger age, and as you see, we've confirmed with the mom that she's willing to pay all of the expenses. So if the board were to approve it, I would just make sure the motion that says that no cost to the school is correct.
You do it for swimming. I mean, there's
absolutely,
so many.
Yeah, there's so many.
If another student was interested, that would be the same parameter set in terms of cost to that.
Correct. Maybe the NHIA costs are split between the two parents or whatever. But yeah, I would suggest that it be the same.
The one thing that the coach did say, because she's a private coach, she's not given a stipend. She's sanctioned underneath Plymouth Regionals as a coach, but she does not receive a stipend from them. She's a private coach. So in doing that, there are certain levels that a student athlete must meet in order to be eligible to be able to play. Because she's a private coach and because of the liability that she has to take on, she can only take on an athlete that meets a certain level of gymnastics, but she said she's more than willing to take on novice gymnasts, just not under the newfound name, but she can welcome them into beginning groups at Top Gun Gymnastics and then get them to the point where they can be on a team. Because she's a privately run entity. So.
And Alex, will there be any other expectations from the NHIAA for the school, given this one student's participation?
The parent, Mooney, has said that they'll take care of the registration of gymnastics as a sport. The coach does not receive a stipend. Mooney is going to be transporting, and she'll be paying. The uniforms are purchased from Top Gun Gymnastics, so they will purchase the uniform, and then Ms. Mooney will pay them. And then all meets are covered by the parent to the coach. The coach pays for them.
And what is the registration process involved?
So I just have to. So I have to just complete an individual athlete form for NHIAA. Mm-hmm. I've already reached out to the athletic director of Plymouth Regional, Jim Carey, to see how, because he registers his athletes as individual athletes as well. Because you have to have X amount of players to be a team.
Right.
So individual athletes, I file it with the NHIAA, and then Ms. Mooney will help me pay. We will pay the fee to the NHIAA. She will pay the money for it.
We do have some students locally that are attending gymnastics programs in other towns. Is there something that is this? There's another town that has that. So I mean, there may be some upcoming children that would be interested in this.
Yep, the coach there, Kelly Carey, had mentioned that there was, I think, one or two other newfound girls, maybe an incoming seventh grader. This is the only individual that has been through Top Gun now. If they go through Kelly Carey to Top Gun Gymnastics and they meet the standards, then they'd be individual athletes unless we are able to produce, I think, numbers 5 for a team.
Originally was like, well, I'll put something in here. If numbers change on opening day, we will reconsider this. I mean, we would literally have to lose like 10 kids out of that, those two classes. We're not going to lose 10 kids to make a decision that would warrant a full-time position. So Kaya's in that position as the part-time person. Mia is in that position. She is more than happy to take it on full-time if the board's all approved that tonight. There's no way we can have possibility.
The last 7 it's just moved in the past 2 years-ish.
Anybody else have anything on this?
Six.
All right. We have a Danbury parent request.
Yep, so again, so the parent, it's an eighth grader at the New Fountain Memorial Middle School. They're moving, their closing date is September 13th. I have their purchase and sales agreement. They are moving to Danbury, and so they are just asking to allow the student to start on the opening day as opposed to going to Interlakes and coming here. So I'm just looking for the board to approve that.
Okay. I've been asking before.
I know.
I appreciate that they're asking.
It's helpful when they come in timely before board meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, so we had a student move into foster care in Alexandria who is in need of a one-to-one aid. This is not one that's budgeted, and every aid we have right now will be used. So we don't have an extra position lying around, so Anne would like to be able to hire somebody. This is a billable student. The aid will be billed back to Laconia, so it really has no cost to us.
Said that we have some good things going in the district. Administration, good compliments. There was some talk about the improvements over time in the district. All in all, the ones I did were very positive.
Around what happens if there's an active shooter or whatever. so we were going to create a video, and then time got away from us, and because we wanted to be able to offer something to all of our students that was consistent message, but not bring them all into an auditorium and have a conversation about a shooter. And so we'll need to revamp that. We've had some preliminary conversations around what that looks like for each level. I mean, the elementary school, our message continues to just be follow what the teacher says, just for you to do, kind of a thing, because it's a little harder to train elementary, you know, kindergartner, you know, use strategies to barricade the room. But we are, you know, talking about middle and high school on how to introduce the subject in the best way and how to get teachers comfortable in introducing, and like, how do you have that conversation? So it is something we're having.
Because it has been brought up to me, so I just wanted to ask if that's going to be happening soon.
Yeah, we have to. By law, we now have to have one drill that's an active shooter drill.
A year.
Yeah.
And is that a community effort? Is that law with police and
so they don't dictate how it is. So they talked about you could do like a tabletop exercise. It doesn't necessarily have to involve kids. It can be like a tabletop exercise. It can be an exercise with the police department and your staff. It doesn't have to include kids. We really want to include kids at some level, in especially middle high school. What would happen if an intruder came in here with a gun? You know, what would you do? Because they're at some level just as able to support the situation of knowing how to get out of a building, right? So we talk about Columbine and why did so many people die in the library, because they hid under a desk instead of leaving the exit door, which was right there. So, you know, starting to have those conversations with kids. If somebody came through the door and you're in the library, there's a door right there, run out of it. You know, having those conversations about, I mean, we've kind of given that conversation to teachers, like you have the ability to make decisions. But further along, having those conversations with kids. So it's a challenge to figure out how to educate 700 kids and not make it scary, but make it serious. So
I think, Tom, maybe you can back me up, I'm not sure, but I think the high school especially could really, they would rise to the occasion.
Oh, absolutely.
They would know exactly what to do if they had sort of like that basic training. I mean, it's a huge difference between elementary, but even my fourth graders are, you know, they know what to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we have to have the faith.
Yeah, and I think that teachers have individually at times had conversations with kids, just haven't done it district-wide, like here's where, what the message is.
Because even kindergartners and first graders, there are a couple of behaviors they could know.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't hide someplace and stay in one place and run around screaming. Do you have to use that person there?
All kindergartners running around screaming.
That looks so natural. That's easy. Don't stay in one place. Just, you know, you better be actually crazy.
Craziness. Like you got chocolate milk at lunch.
Act natural.
All right, so let's wrap this up. Look for a motion on the June 17th minutes.
I move to approve the June 17th minutes as amended.
Second?
No.
Yeah, it's amended. Yes, as amended.
As amended. Two amendments.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I move to approve the June 17th.
17th.
Sorry,
yeah.
Thank you.
Second,
thank you.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain.
Approve the confirmation of resignations and nominations. Can I do both?
Sure.
Resignations and nominations as brought forward to the board.
I'll second that. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Can I just say something for the record? I'm disappointed, I have to say, and I know this is money related, but we lose teachers too quickly. So just want to clarify that.
Okay. I concur. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Chair of the board to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Newfound Teachers Union regarding the pilot evaluation walkthrough model.
I'll motion that.
Do we have clarification on that in the sense of what you just said?
I made the motion.
Right, but you said to give, what did you say prior?
The chair.
The chair.
The chair. You need to sign it.
He has to sign it in the contract.
He has to sign it.
Okay. Oh, because it's the contract. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Just wanted to make the motion.
Okay, so Jason's going to make the motion.
Oh, not you.
Instead of me, even though I said it.
Okay. Will you second?
I'll second that.
No, Sue seconds. Thank you.
Should we have seconded?
Well, because it's for me to sign
it's
it.
It's for him to sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I need to accept the parent request for the gymnastics team for the NRHS.
Second.
Can you just add that and it's at no cost to the district?
It, with no cost, with that being at no cost to the district.
Thank you.
Got to write that down.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I guess I'll move that we request to change the New Danbury Elementary School part-time teacher to full-time, as explained by the superintendent.
I'll second that.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I make a motion to hire a new para, which is reimbursed by the Laconia School District. Do you have to add any more?
Maybe as presented by the superintendent. Presented in the memo.
Yeah, as presented.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? opposed? Any abstentions? I don't believe we have manifests.
We do not. Still need some signatures. If anybody has some time.
They all have one.
Yeah, they all have kind of one. All random people. Mike signed some, Jason signed some, Jeff signed some. Get there.
I'll stop tomorrow.
Okay. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.